Hello, and thank you for joining the Connection Therapy Podcast. This is a podcast about the craft of psychotherapy, and we seek to support those who strive to improve their craft by sharing research about the science and stories about the art of psychology. Together, we will explore these findings so you can decide how you want to apply them to benefit your practice. I've been on a journey lately with the podcast episodes, trying to understand more about how what is happening in terms of what we can see, like facial features and hear, like voice prosody, is related to physical characteristics such as heart rate variability, and how that might also interact with emotions. And I'm thrilled to say that I have two studies today that describe not how this happens in humans, but how it happens in goats. I know, goats, who knew? I'm actually excited about the researchers following up with their goats to learn not only does this happen across in the goat species, but it happens across species as well. In other words, when the goats hear human voices, they have some responses that are also affected. So, how does this relate to mental health besides being super interesting? Well, I think what we're going to find is that the more we learn about how this happens for our friends in the mammal species, such as goats, although goats are a little challenging for me to understand, but I admire them. Anyway, I think what's going to happen is as we learn more about how this works in mammals, including humans, we're going to be able to get really specific about how we want to intervene, when and how with specific patients, because sometimes we want these outcomes to move in different directions, right? Like if we have someone who is experiencing low affect or low mood on a regular basis and that has interfered with their functioning, then typically we would hope they would have an increase in positive affect or euthymic mood. And however, on occasion, we want to help a patient slow down because they're really active and really moving quickly. And this is what I mean when I'm suggesting that our interventions are going to have to get really specific. And I'm pretty sure, or at least I have a strong guess, that that's going to relate to some physical characteristics as well. Of course, we're going to have to stay within the scope of our own practice, but I do believe that the more we can learn about how this all works, not just from a mental health perspective, but from a more integrative perspective, it's going to make our mental health interventions that much more successful. But for today, we're just going to understand how it works with goats. The first study was published in 2019 in the Journal of Frontiers in Zoology. Authors are Bassiadonna, Briefer, Favaro, and McGilligott. And the title is Goats Distinguish Between Positive and Negative Emotion-Linked Vocalizations. So as I understand their design, what they did is they had calls recorded of other goats that had different emotional valences, positive and negative emotions. And then they played those back, and while they did that, they watched for the behaviors of the goats in terms of what they did looking or maybe moving their head or their ears toward the sound. And they also measured cardiac responses in the goats. And they concluded that the goats could in fact distinguish between the positive and negative calls made by other goats during recorded sounds from the other goats. And they determined this by looking at the behaviors the goats made in response to hearing the calls. And they also checked in on the goats' heart rate and heart rate variability. Heart rate, ironically, was not affected, whereas they explain heart rate variability tended to be higher during certain phases of the experiment when the positive calls were played. And their suggestion is that by combining the behavioral and physiological measures, they surmise that their evidence suggests the goats can distinguish between the calls and that this is observable through their behaviors and cardiac responses. I find it to be rather reassuring that when the goats heard the positive sounds, their heart rate variability increased. That is consistent with what we would think. And they explain that this suggests a higher involvement of the parasympathetic system of the goats over their sympathetic systems. And this is something, the parasympathetic part of the nervous system is the one responsible to calm and regulate moods. So these two variables are moving in the direction we would hope, in that when goats heard more positive sounds, their physical reaction was to calm down, or at least have that side of their nervous system that is responsible to calm them down be activated. So it's possibly not that big of a jump to consider that goats are curious about other goats, and when they hear them making negative sounds or positive sounds, they would have both a behavioral and a physical reaction. For me, it's quite reasonable to suggest that, but I think studies like this are really important because for some reason, that's not a common expectation or understanding of our mammal counterparts, that they likewise have reactions when their herd mates are being affected, either positively or negatively. So then a subset of these researchers did a second study. And this time they wanted to see if the goats could do this with human voices. And you guessed it, they can. The next study is titled Goats Discriminate Emotional Valence in the Human Voice. It was published recently in March of 2024 in the journal Animal Behavior. And authors are Mason, Simple, Marshall, and here we find McGilligan again, who was on the previous study. And they explain that since the previous study and others have found that goats can do this in their goat species, they wanted to see if the goats could likewise distinguish emotional valence present in human voices. So they did a similar presentation to the goats with human voices. And this time they added a familiar human voice and an unfamiliar human voice, and then did angry and happy voice calls from both humans. And this time it was just that the goat's behavior was different enough to be significant. They did not find changes in heart rate or heart rate variability. And they suggest, though, that this way of studying how this works could be a model for how to look at future ways to study what they call, quote, interspecific emotional communication. That means between species emotional communication. So that's another of my new favorite phrases, interspecific emotional communication. I'm just happy to find that there's a phrase that describes the fact that it's discernible that there is emotional communication happening across species. And so, as mental health therapists, what do we do with this information? How do we incorporate it into our practices? Well, for me, it's an incredible indicator that everything I do is felt or has an impact on others around me. In this second study, they had the goats listen to familiar and unfamiliar human voices. And that means that the goats could be affected by an unfamiliar human voice. So I think it's probably stating the obvious, but when we go into public places and maybe are around other people we don't know, our mood and our affect and whatever's happening inside of us does impact other people. And, you know, this is one reason why it's always going to be a difficult experience to go to any department of motor vehicles in any state, because usually that's a stressful experience for people and it impacts everyone in the room. And so in our therapy offices, then it's likewise that what we say, how we say it, is all part of the therapy. And so for me, it kind of brings in another lens with which to see how I work, and more importantly, how it sounds when I work with someone. And thinking about the fact that, especially within species, on that first study, they did see that heart rate variability was impacted in the goats. And thinking from earlier podcast episodes this year, that an improvement in heart rate variability has so many positive outcomes for our patients. So really letting that sink in has been helpful to me, to realize that every statement I make, every moment I'm with someone in the therapy office, I have the ability to improve not only their mental health, but perhaps their physical health. And I am encouraged by this consideration, because I think for most of us, it's probably been a hope, or maybe just a kind of obvious thing, that these mental and body elements go together and they move in similar directions. And it's not to say that, you know, one therapy session is going to make a drastic impact on someone's physical health, but overall, the environment now is, for me, so much wider of the ways that someone is receiving mental health treatment. You know, there's a lot of focus on occasion about the specific interventions and the different, you know, ways that we have kind of outcome measurements and those kind of things. And there's a place for those. But also now it brings into possibility that the whole environment is affecting the person. And there is incumbent with that a lot of responsibility. And, you know, we're not fully in control of the whole environment oftentimes. So I try not to bring myself to a place where I worry so much about all the things that are affecting someone, but letting them be part of my support is hopeful and encouraging from my perspective, because it helps me understand that it's not just what I do, it's how I am and how the environment is and how the person and I are interacting that is also therapeutic. And somehow that reduces the things I must do and lets me just relax into being a therapist who wants to help somebody. It's interesting. I suppose you could see it both ways, but I think there's a way to have these findings secure us more in our practice of mental health, because more than likely you are well-intentioned and have, you know, positive hopes and feelings toward the therapy session. Not all the time. That's part of therapy too. You know, it's a human interaction, so there's going to be both positive and negative emotions. But coming to it with a caring stance for me, given what these studies and others have been suggesting of late, that caring stance goes a lot further than maybe we knew. And that is really encouraging to me, because the care and concern that you feel are going to come across in your voice and the way you speak and how you speak. And that alone is a curative factor. That's what we're learning in these two studies. So just by being there and sharing yourself with your voice, you're doing great things. I hope you'll join us again for future explorations in the field of psychology. And if you'd like to take a step further, there are additional ways to obtain more education and support on our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com. While there, you will find information about the authors and studies featured in the podcast episodes. Also, you will see a schedule of live trainings I offer on the topics featured in the podcast. And you will find information about the Connection Community, a growing group of mental health clinicians dedicated to the study and practice of psychotherapy. Please check out our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com, to learn more. Thanks. Until next time.